This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
7:07, we have 68 degrees in Chapel Hill, WCHL, and we look for mostly sunshine today. High today in the middle 80s, tonight clear with a low in the middle 60s, and then tomorrow we're looking at partly sunny skies. Isolated showers in the forecast, only about a 20% chance of rain tomorrow and tomorrow night. High tomorrow in the upper 80s. So, pretty good weather here for the next couple of days. Not many highlights in last night's game down at Columbia, South Carolina. We will talk about the football game coming up in just a few minutes here on WCHL. In other news this morning, mid-July, UNC's faculty chair Jan Boxall was accused by the News and Observer of a cover-up for an internal university email about how to title a supporter of athletics in regards to the review of the African and Afro-American Studies Department. WCHL's Rand Northam reports.
Boxall says she was cast in a negative light just by trying to help the university in a time when it was on thin ice with the NCAA, the media, and even the public.
It's painful. I've been trying in very many ways to get out in front of some of the things and also to recognize that no issue is simple.
The AFAM scandal prompted internal reviews as well as a review by former North Carolina Governor Jim Martin, which concluded, among other things, that the issue within the department dated back to 1997, and an ongoing review led by the president of the Association of American Universities, Hunter Rawlings. Aside from being the faculty chair, Boxall is the director of the Parr Center for Ethics and a senior lecturer in philosophy. She says one of the areas she teaches a lot about is taking the broad approach rather than narrowing the focus.
Every issue we deal with is complex, whether it's affirmative action, whether it's abortion, whether it's the voter's rights, and whether it's a sport. It's so complicated, but when we try to just sort of focus on one part of it, you lose the force.
And she says that by the NNO pointing out just a small segment of a chain of emails written between faculty, the issue was taken out of context.
It's easy to criticize one aspect, but if you look at the overarching, and then you see there's a lot more strands than just a single issue, because it's always easy to take a single issue.
Boxall explains the correspondence in question was within a subcommittee she formed out of the elected faculty executive committee, of which she says she found three of the most critically minded faculty. She says she formed the subcommittee after four or five faculty told her enough was enough and that the faculty needed to take a proactive approach and get to the bottom of the situation.
It had nothing to do with the NCAA. It was clearly only a faculty committee.
The NNO reported that Boxall urged a change in the report's wording so the NCAA wouldn't return for another round of investigations. However, Boxall says the requested change came down to the use of term booster when describing Debbie Crowder in the subcommittee's report.
Booster has a specific meaning for the NCAA, as somebody brought up in the meeting, not me. They said, well, let's change it then, because we're not intending to use their definition. We're looking at it as simply a supporter.
She says the subcommittee then decided that anyone could be a supporter of athletics.
In the end, people thought that this claim wasn't even relevant or wasn't important because it didn't change any of the recommendations. It was the recommendations that we felt were the most important. They stayed, and it was out of those recommendations came the Governor Martin report and the Hunter Rawlings panel, which we're still waiting on.
The public release of emails, as requested by the NNO, came nearly a year after they were written, which Boxall attributes to the mere fact of the high volume of public information requested. Boxall says the fact that the information was received in email form and without the whole story, the narrow focus rather than broad, as she mentioned, likely contributed to the situation being taken out of context.
Emails are not the best way to communicate because you read them as you want to read them, not as perhaps they were intended.
Boxall's three-year term as faculty chair expires in June. She says while she's enjoyed her time in that position, she'll be continuing to focus on reviewing policies and procedures at UNC in new and different ways, including a summit this spring in which she says she will be teaming up with different departments of the university. To read the article published in July by the News and Observer, you can view this story on our website, chapelboro.com. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
UNC Provost Jim Dean says university leaders are in the process of putting the final touches on this year's budget.
We're on a fiscal year budget. It runs from July through June, but we can't really do our budgeting until the legislature does their budget and then the general administration does their budget. We're downstream from that, so we're getting close to the end of the budgeting.
At its August 9th meeting, the UNC Systems Board of Governors made its allocations for the 16 UNC campuses based on the North Carolina General Assembly's two-year budget plan. The legislature's spending plan, which was approved in July, called for substantial cuts to the UNC system. The spending plan designated $115 million in permanent funding reductions to the system's base operating budget. State budget cuts also call for the elimination of all funding for the UNC School of Medicine. 5 years ago, appropriations for the School of Medicine were about $46 million.
We did better than we might have done, but maybe not quite so well as we would have hoped in certain areas that we did end up with some budget cuts again. They're not bad as we had feared at one point.
During four consecutive years of state budget cuts since the economic downturn, UNC campuses, including Chapel Hill, have faced significant reductions in state funding. Carolina has taken about $235 million in total state cuts since 2008, according to UNC's website. Year after year, Orange County consistently ranks as the wealthiest in the state of North Carolina. But poverty, even here, continues to be a nagging and serious issue. WCHL's Aaron Keck reports.
There's a big disparity between wealth. There continues to be growth in childhood poverty, and that is one that we need to pay close attention to.
That's Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce President Aaron Nelson reporting new data on wealth, poverty, and money at his annual State of the Community presentation this week. Orange County ranks first in the state with a per capita income of $48,683 in 2011, well above the state average of $36,000. But in spite of that, our poverty rate is also well above the state average. In 2011, 16.9% of Orange County residents were living below the poverty line, compared to 16.1% of all North Carolinians and 14.3% of all Americans. The percentage is even higher in Chapel Hill alone, where 22.1% of residents lived below the poverty line in 2011.
Some folks have often discounted that. Well, that's just the student population, right? Well, because when you knock on a student's door, the census taker says, how much money do you have? And they're like, zero. But our poverty level is high. We ought not to discount it simply because it includes students.
For the first time, researchers this year were able to distinguish between students and non-students when analyzing wealth and poverty in the area. Students do account for much of the poverty rate in Chapel Hill, but that poverty rate is still elevated even when they're taken out of the equation. About 10% of Chapel Hill's non-student population lives below the poverty line, a poverty rate that's less than the state average, but still more than twice as high as nearby communities like Apex and Cary. And Nelson says the childhood poverty rate is even higher and growing.
And that is on the rise, and in a pretty serious way, up from 23% to 26% in Chapel Hill City Schools, and 39 to 41 in Orange County schools.
Those numbers refer to the percentage of economically disadvantaged children, which is to say children who qualify for free and reduced lunch. 26.5% of Chapel Hill Carborough City school students and 41.6% of Orange County school students qualified for free and reduced lunch in 2011-2012, the highest percentage in both districts since at least 2006, when the chamber began collecting data. And the high level of need in Orange County is at odds with the common perception of Chapel Hill as a wealthy community, a disconnect that actually makes it harder for governmental and non-governmental organizations to address the real need that exists. Here's Nelson.
We all know about Chapel Hill syndrome, right? Some donors get this. It's a belief that we don't need anything. Orange County doesn't need anything, right? You're the highest per capita income. You got all the resources you need. The university's there. The hospital's there. Your economy is bulletproof. But the reality is that some of us feel that way and forget to reinvest and take a look under the rocks on what's going on in our community with respect to poverty, particularly children in poverty.
Nelson delivered his State of the Community report on Tuesday at the Friday Center. You can see the full presentation by viewing this story on our website, chapelboro.com. Aaron Keck, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
WCHL News Time, 7:16. Time for traffic and weather together. Traffic brought to you by Five Guys Burgers and Fries. Burgers not your thing? Enjoy Five Guys grilled kosher beef hot dogs dressed with any or all of 15 free toppings. Five Guys, Metamont Village. Traffic has been moving along fairly smoothly so far this morning. Of course, we do have all the school buses on the road and all that sort of thing, and folks still aren't accustomed to that and haven't really quite got back into the routine yet. Here is Rand Northam to tell you more.
Thank you very much, Ron. Yeah, the last day of the first full week, or the first week of school here in Chapel Hill, Carborough, and Orange County as well. Roadways moving smoothly right now. I-40, 15501, NC-54, the Durham Freeway, not reporting any accidents or delays. You might see some slowdowns begin, especially around stoplights and things like that, as more traffic gets out on the roadways. And we're at the start of Labor Day weekend. Some people might be taking off today to get that extended weekend starting today. So you might see some heavier traffic. And I believe it's about 5% up this year, according to AAA Carolina, as we had that story for you yesterday. You can find on our website, chapelboro.com. So lots of traffic expected this weekend out on the roadways. Use caution as you do travel. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363. You can also tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And listen, if you're getting ready to travel out of town for the weekend, be sure and stop by Cruisers this afternoon between 3:30 and 5:30. WCHL will be there. And actually, between 2 and 6, they're going to be doing some special things. Cruisers Convenience Marketplace at Chapel Hill North, inviting you to a customer appreciation event today. Enjoy giveaways, win prizes, and Edward Holmes is going to tell us how we can save 18 cents a gallon on gas. Cruisers, good to go. 68 degrees in Chapel Hill, 67 in Carrboro. Mostly sunshine today. High today in the middle 80s. Tonight mostly clear with a low of 65. And then tomorrow we're looking at partly sunny skies. Just a slight chance of rain in the afternoon. High tomorrow in the upper 80s. Low tomorrow night in the upper 60s. And then on Sunday we'll have a 30% chance of rain with a high once again in the upper 80s. So all in all, a pretty good weekend weather-wise.
Start your day with Ron Stutz and catch Ed Schultz from noon to 3 here on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Just a couple of minutes here from recapping what happened last night down in Columbia, South Carolina with the football game. Tar Heels, suffice it to say, not getting off to a good start. Also, coming up at the bottom of the hour on WCHL, election season is here and the race is on for 10 candidates who are competing for 4 seats on the Chapel Hill Town Council. We'll have that story coming up at the top of our next newscast at the bottom of the hour. A former U.S. Marine lieutenant who twice ran as a Republican for Congress will serve as the new director of the North Carolina Division of Veterans Affairs. Ilario Pantano of Wilmington will start his new job September 5th. He will be paid an annual state salary of $90,000. Pantano was charged with 2 counts of premeditated murder in 2004 after he shot 2 unarmed Iraqis and then hung a taunting sign near their bullet-riddled bodies. A Marine general later dropped the charges, ruling there was insufficient evidence to proceed to court-martial. Pantano resigned in 2005. Pantano campaigned unsuccessfully for North Carolina's 7th congressional district seat in 2010 and again in 2012. He was also vice chairman of Veterans for McCrory, a group affiliated with the campaign of now Governor Pat McCrory. WCHL News Time, 7:20. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you by Landscape Logic. Good morning, I'm Rod Stutz. Well, Carolina fell short of a victory against its southern rival Thursday night, falling to South Carolina 27-10 in a game that could be summed up in one word: ouch. It was delayed more than an hour by a lightning storm that made it even worse. The Gamecocks didn't wait long to get on the board.
Shaw will go deep after the play action, has a man there for the touchdown. Shaq rolling over the top of Tim Scott. And South Carolina, just like that, a minute and 19 seconds into the game, takes the lead.
After the game, head coach Larry Fedora said he was really disappointed in the way his team played in such a big game on such a big stage.
And we didn't play the way we wanted to play, obviously. I mean, we knew we were going to have it. It would be tough coming in here to their stadium and playing a game at this in this situation. And I just was disappointed in the way we played in all 3 phases of the game. You know, but you got to give South Carolina credit. They're a good football team.
85,000 fans last night. That made it difficult, too. But specifically, Coach Fedora said it was the inability of his team to stop the big plays that led to Carolina's downfall.
Yeah, we worked a lot on eliminating big plays and limiting big plays. And you can't give up 2 big plays like that. You can't do that. You can't drop a punt at the 50-yard line. You can't do a lot of things that we did, you know. But, those were disappointing.
UNC did manage to get on the board in the second quarter, and it was Renner through the air for the first and only touchdown of the night for the Carolina Blue.
The snap a little off the mark. Renner able to get it. Goes to the back of the end zone for 6. sprinter to South Carolina native Quinshon Davis for the touchdown.
Tar Heel fans had renewed hope at that point, but it didn't work out. An understandably upset Coach Fedora outlined all the areas in which the Tar Heels have to improve in order to have a successful season. All the goals still in front of the Tar Heels. He said the team really could have done better in all aspects of the game.
From what they accomplished, they won the football game, did a great job. But, I mean, we got to execute. If we execute like that, it isn't going to matter for us. I mean, we won't have a chance. You know, so I mean, we got to make better decisions with the ball. We got to block better. We got to run harder. All the different things. I mean, you got to make plays, and we didn't make those tonight.
Despite the subpar game, Coach Fedora said he was proud of the way his team displayed fight. He said they never gave up in the face of a big deficit on the road in a hostile environment.
You know, there was never a situation in a game where I felt like our guys gave up, or I mean, if that was the case, when we went back out from the rain delay, they wouldn't have gone out there and got after it and fought, you know. And I mean, that's who we are. Those guys are going to fight all the way to the end. They're going to believe they can win a game no matter what's going on.
In the end, it wasn't a matter of South Carolina just dominating Carolina. It was a matter of Carolina not playing very well. And actually, the Tar Heels did a pretty good job on Jadavian Clowney, the acclaimed defensive player for South Carolina. But it just wouldn't work out last night for Carolina. Tar Heels now will look forward to their season opener at home next week. Tanner Price accounted for two touchdowns. Redshirt freshman Jonathan Williams had 143 yards receiving, and Wake Forest forced a half dozen turnovers in a season-opening 31-7 victory over Presbyterian last night. Price was 14 of 25 for 219 yards. He threw a 20-yard touchdown pass to Spencer Bishop and ran 3 yards for another score. Well, playing Presbyterian is a lot different, though, than opening up against South Carolina. The defending national champion UNC women's soccer team is set to begin the Carolina Nike Classic this weekend here in Chapel Hill. Hosted by the Tar Heels, the event should be a great way for local fans to get out and appreciate head coach Anson Dornitz's undefeated team in action. Senior Crystal Dunn was named co-ACC Player of the Week with Virginia's Morgan Bryan. The pair had standout performances at last weekend's Klockner Classic to earn the conference honor, including 3 goals by the Tar Heels senior Crystal Dunn. As far as this weekend goes, UNC will play its first game Friday at 5 against New Mexico. That's later today. Tar Heels will wrap up the weekend's play on Sunday, 3 o'clock, with a match against Kennesaw State. 2 games into the season, Carolina has not been scored on while tallying 6 goals in all. You can read the story and follow all the latest on Carolina soccer on our website, chapelboro.com. UNC volleyball team gets the season underway today, or tonight rather, at 8 o'clock against Notre Dame at Middle Tennessee State's Blue Raider Bash. Picked to finish second behind Florida State in the ACC by the conference's 15 head coaches, Carolina will be looking to ride the play of junior Chenille Nelson and sophomore Paige Neuenfeldt, both members of the 2013 preseason All-ACC team. The Tar Heels will try and put an end to the Seminoles' bid to earn their third straight league title, a feat accomplished by UNC from 1999 through 2001. The quest for a title begins tonight for Carolina volleyball. On Saturday, the squad will face double duty, taking on San Francisco and Middle Tennessee State. And Carolina Panthers in action last night, defeating Pittsburgh Steelers 25-10 in a big preseason win. Ted Ginn Jr. showing he has something left to offer Carolina. He caught 5 passes last night for 149 yards and 2 touchdowns. It was a game devoid of star power for the most part. The regulars didn't really play that much, and both coaches took a look at some of the players further down the depth chart as they're trying to shape their final rosters in the NFL. 725 at WCHL. Good morning. I'm Rod Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
The Tar Heels muffed a golden opportunity in Columbia last night. This is our Chansky with Friday Sports Notebook. Couldn't have been a happy ride home for Larry Fedora and his second Carolina football team. It lost a strange opener at 6th-ranked South Carolina that frankly looked a lot worse than it was. From a nervous start to a stumbling finish, with a critical muff in between, the Tar Heels likely kicked themselves all the way back to Chapel Hill for being so jittery early and then failing to finish drives. UNC's overmatched defensive line and secondary coughed up a quick 17 points, and most fans watching who didn't have a dog in the fight had to start flipping channels. We were hoping this night would showcase the real Carolina in their new baby blue helmets, and there were some better moments to follow. But between the poor start and the 90-minute weather delay, which took the game off ESPN, much of what the Tar Heels did well wound up obscured. The key play, of course, was after Bryn Renner led them on a 70-yard sustained drive for his first TD pass of the season to Quinshon Davis. The fired-up D then forced a Gamecocks punt from deep in their end, which would have given Renner room to operate from midfield full of confidence. But return man T.J. Thorpe muffed the chance to make it a one-score game by halftime. They had regained all the momentum in the third quarter after driving to the South Carolina 2 before settling for a field goal from hometown boy Thomas Moore. To that point, they had run the first 22 plays of the half, but it took South Carolina one snap to go 75 yards and put the game away with another long touchdown strike. Then the lightning struck, followed by the storm delay. Upon resumption, with no chance to win, Fedora wanted his team to score and finish on a positive note. But Renner stumbled in front of the goal line, and the frustrating night finally ended after a scoreless fourth quarter. There were many good signs mixed in, especially how talented the Heels are and how much better shape they were in, wearing down the South Carolina defense early in the game. The ballyhoo Jadeveon Clowney had to take himself out on several occasions because he was clearly gassed. Unfortunately, our Carolina flamed out at the wrong times, promising a long 9 days on the practice field before the Heels have a chance to take it out on Middle Tennessee. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Got faith? How does your faith come alive in daily living? I'm Kenneth Bernard, pastor of Grace Church, and I invite you to join us this month as we make faith fun, down-to-earth, and practical. You'll grow in your faith and experience community this fall as we launch more than 70 small groups. We have phenomenal programming for kids, teenagers, and adults. In this day and age, we all need faith. Join us on the journey of faith. Yours will grow in our vibrant community. Grace Church, reaching people, building lives, gracelife.com.
Here's what a typical service department sounds like on Sundays, but not at Crown Honda of South Point. We're open 11 to 5 on Sundays. No one else does that. No more early morning drop-offs or rushing after work with the kids. We work around your schedule. And you can always count on Crown Honda of South Point for the best deal, like zero down and just $259 a month on a 2013 Honda Accord LX. For service beyond the sale, Crown Honda of South Point, now with service on Sundays.
This is Stacy Chapman at the Print Shop in University Mall. It's time for our annual back-to-school dry mounting sale. Don't miss out on 20% off all dry mounting now through Labor Day. With our massive selection of fine art prints and these great dry mounting savings, we can help you spruce up your dorm room, apartment, or house in no time. Take advantage of our dry mounting on the spot while you wait and save money while you're at it. So hurry on in. Sale ends Labor Day. The Print Shop, for over 40 years, your art print and framing store in University Mall.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Join us this Friday, August 30th from 2 to 6 p.m. for a customer appreciation event at our Chapel Hill North store off MLK Jr. Boulevard. Win great prizes, sample free food and drink, and learn how to save 18 cents per gallon on gasoline. Giveaways, savings, and fun this Friday from 2 to 6 p.m. at Cruisers in Chapel Hill North. It's our way of saying thanks to our customers in this community.
Cruisers, good to go.
And WCHL will be broadcasting live there this afternoon between 3:30 and 5:30.
Are you looking for new customers? Try our local deals, brought to you by WCHL and the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce. We offer a deal to the community from your business, and folks purchase it. Everybody loves a deal. With our local deal, your company or organization is featured on 97.9 FM WCHL, on the site at ourlocaldeal.com, and through social media. Want to try the best marketing deal in town? Visit ourlocaldeal.com or call us at 919-933-4165.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather, presented by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Stop in for a quick lunch and select from 8 juicy smoked meats and fresh sides. All delicious. Dickie's Barbecue Pit between Chapel Hill and Durham up Mount Moriah Road. 69 degrees in Chapel Hill. Mostly sunshine today. High today about 85. Tonight mostly clear with a low 65. Tomorrow, partly sunny, just a slight chance of rain in the afternoon. High tomorrow in the upper 80s. Tomorrow night we'll get down to 68. Still a slight chance of rain. And same goes for Sunday with a high of 88 degrees on Sunday.
This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station, and streaming live at chapelborough.com.
Yes, news update. I'm Dave Barrett. We could hear details of the alleged use of chemical weapons in Syria when a classified U.S. document is made public today. The U.S. won't get British help if there is military retaliation. Prime Minister David Cameron says he gets it.
It is clear to me that the British Parliament, reflecting the views of the British people, does not want to see British military action.
Canada is also opting out, but the French say they would support punishing Syria. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel.
It is the goal of President Obama and our government, whatever decision is taken, that it be an international collaboration.
In Damascus, CBS's Elizabeth Palmer.
There's never been trepidation like there is right now.
She says residents in Syria's capital are worried about two primary threats.
One, of course, is another chemical attack, and everybody feels vulnerable. They're vulnerable to changes in the wind. And secondly, of course, the threat of American strikes.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
It is 70 degrees in Chapel Hill, 732 WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz. One of the few highlights from last night's football game.
Three receivers to the far side, one to the near. The snap a little off the mark. Renner able to get it. Goes to the back of the end zone for six. Renner to South Carolina native Quinshon Davis for the touchdown.
Tar Heels lost last night 27-10 down in Columbia. 85,000 fans there. The game was rather strange in that it was delayed for close to 90 minutes by a lightning storm. And that just kind of postponed the inevitable. Tar Heels ended up losing 27-10. Just couldn't get it done last night. We'll have the full recap for you on our website. It's there right now, chapelboro.com. We'll talk more about it next hour on WCHL with Lauren Brownlow. And also, we'll sum it up with Jones Angel on WCHL. Back in mid-July, UNC's faculty chair Jan Boxall was accused by the News and Observer of a cover-up for the internal university email about how to title a supporter of athletics in regards to the review of the African and Afro-American Studies Department. WCHL's Rand Northam reports.
Boxall says she was cast in a negative light just by trying to help the university in a time when it was on thin ice with the NCAA, the media, and even the public.
It's painful. I've been trying in very many ways to get out in front of some of the things and also to recognize that no issue is simple.
The AFAM scandal prompted internal reviews as well as a review by former North Carolina Governor Jim Martin, which concluded, among other things, that the issue within the department dated back to 1997, and an ongoing review led by the president of the Association of American Universities, Hunter Rawlings. Aside from being the faculty chair, Boxall is the director of the Parr Center for Ethics and a senior lecturer in philosophy. She says one of the areas she teaches a lot about is taking the broad approach rather than narrowing the focus.
Every issue we deal with is complex, whether it's affirmative action, whether it's abortion, whether it's the voter rights, and whether it's the sports. It's so complicated, but when we try to just sort of focus on one part of it, you lose the force.
And she says that by the NNO pointing out just a small segment of a chain of emails written between faculty, the issue was taken out of context.
It's easy to criticize one aspect, but if you look at the overarching, and then you see there's a lot more strands than just a single issue, because it's always easy to take a single issue.
Boxall explains the correspondence in question was within a subcommittee she formed out of the elected faculty executive committee, of which she says she found three of the most critically minded faculty. She says she formed the subcommittee after four or five faculty told her enough was enough and that the faculty needed to take a proactive approach and get to the bottom of the situation.
It had nothing to do with the NCAA. It was clearly only a faculty committee.
The NNO reported that Boxall urged a change in the report's wording so the NCAA wouldn't return for another round of investigations. However, Boxall says the requested change came down to the use of term booster when describing Debbie Crowder in the subcommittee's report.
Booster has a specific meaning for the NCAA, as somebody brought up in the meeting. Not me. They said, well, let's change it then, because we're not intending to use their definition. We're looking at it as simply a supporter.
She says the subcommittee then decided that anyone could be a supporter of athletics.
In the end, people thought that this claim wasn't even relevant or wasn't important because it didn't change any of the recommendations. It was the recommendations that we felt were the most important. They stayed, and it was out of those recommendations came the Governor Martin report and the Hunter Rawlings panel, which we're still waiting on.
The public release of emails, as requested by the NNO, came nearly a year after they were written, which Boxall attributes to the mere fact of the high volume of public information requested. Boxall says the fact that the information was received in email form and without the whole story, the narrow focus rather than broad, as she mentioned, likely contributed to the situation being taken out of context.
Emails are not the best way to communicate because you read them as you want to read them, not as perhaps they were intended.
Boxall's three-year term as faculty chair expires in June. She She says while she's enjoyed her time in that position, she'll be continuing to focus on reviewing policies and procedures at UNC in new and different ways, including a summit this spring in which she says she will be teaming up with different departments of the university. To read the article published in July by the News and Observer, you can view this story on our website, chapelboro.com. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Election season is here, and the race is on for the 10 candidates competing for 4 seats in the Chapel Hill Town Council. Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinsmith, who's running unchallenged for re-election, said he hoped to have council members who would embrace the growth and change happening in downtown Chapel Hill. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
We have a mission as a community to move ourselves forward. Change will happen, and we just want to make sure it's what we want it to be and not let it just happen to us.
Kleinschmidt shared those thoughts at the Friends of Downtown Chapel Hill Candidate Forum on Thursday. With incumbents Gene Peace and Lauren Eastham choosing not to run for re-election, there will be at least 2 new faces on the council this coming November. The incumbents, Mayor Pro Tem Ed Harrison and Sally Green, are expected to retain their seats. Challengers include George Cianciolo, Lauren Hintz, Gary Kahn, Paul Newby, Maria Palmer, Amy Ryan, and D.C. Swinton. Those who emerge victorious will have to tackle change and the many issues facing the town related to a high growth rate. And with growth comes problems such as wealth disparity and the diminishing option for affordable housing. Here's George Cianciolo, who served as the co-chair of the Chapel Hill 2020 Comprehensive Committee.
The fact of the matter is the Chapel Hill will never be more affordable unless we provide more supply. It's a case of supply and demand. And as long as the demand is high and the supply is low, housing will continue to be at high cost.
Nebe, a real estate broker and classical musician, championed growth and business, advocating for greater commercial development.
Chapel Hill already has a shortage of affordable housing. One solution to this, one way to reduce taxes, is by increasing commercial development. Whether we like it or not, Chapel Hill is going to grow. The key is allowing it to grow without reducing our quality of life. I think this is possible with careful planning.
Green, who is a member of the Orange County Partnership to End Homelessness, said that as part of the group's work this past year, they found permanent housing for 7 chronically homeless people.
For tenants of public housing, it needs to be clearer what their realistic steps are to get out of public housing and to get to the next level of what they can afford in the community.
Harrison, who is seeking his 4th term, said that in the beginning of his time on the town council, many had reservations about growth in downtown. Now, he said he embraced initiatives like the Chapel Hill 2020 plan and Rosemary Imagined.
Well, we left that horse out of the barn, and I really don't mind it. I think we could have refined some of it, but we have accepted that downtown is about as good a place in town with density as anywhere.
Kahn, a regular attendee of the council meetings as an observer, said that if development happens, he thought it should be consistent. Palmer, an educator and pastor, said that she supported development, but in the wake of this summer's mass flooding, the town should examine carefully where it builds. Swinton, who at just 25 years of age is the youngest candidate for the council, pointed out that economic growth in downtown will likely help the homeless problem in Chapel Hill.
There still is this perception that homeless people are bad people, and when you have any sort of issue of homelessness in the first place, it's because of the lack of economic opportunities for those persons. Even if it's just a minimum wage job, we don't have enough of them.
Hence, a former teacher and past chair of the Transportation Board explained his thoughts on the state of homelessness in downtown.
I support the idea of encouraging people to donate to organizations rather than individuals.
For profiles on all of the candidates, you can visit our website, chapelboro.com. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Good morning, it is 7:41 at WCHL. Coming up, Brian Thornburg has today's commentary, and he talks about Ellie Kinnaird and her service to all of us for so long in the Senate and as Carborough mayor before that. But he also talks about the right to vote and how precious it is. That's on the way on WCHL, and our traffic and weather together. We'll take another look at that. We also have the clean joke of the day, word of the day on WCHL, and today's WCHL hometown hero as well. Chapelboro.com is blowing up. I mean, it's a really busy place. There's so much stuff there in regards to Carolina football. And unfortunately, we can't reverse the score from last night, but a lot of information there. You can go to chapelbrew.com and find out all about it. Rand Northam is here to tell you about what else is happening at chapelbrew.com.
Well, of course, Huddle Up with the Heels is back, and we've got a recap from last night's game on our website, chapelbrew.com, in the Huddle Up with the Heels section, as well as our sports section on our main page. And I just went on to look at the college pick'em to see how I'm doing so far. Of course, two games already final. One is the Wake Forest Presbyterian game, an easy one there, Wake Forest with the win. And the score is a tiebreaker, North Carolina and South Carolina, for who gets the points that week. So it doesn't go down as a pick, per se, but I was actually pretty close.
Really?
I picked 21-17 South Carolina, So just seven more. If you take the seven from North Carolina and take it over to South Carolina, I guess take one off, 27-10.
I think I picked 24-21 North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yep.
So I lost the pick, but I was fairly close on the final score.
Fairly close, definitely. So, but still many more picks to come
weekend. I did pick Wake to beat Presbyterian, by the way.
Well, that's good. I feel better about my confidence in you.
Thanks.
Yeah. So, again, still more to come. Duke, NC Central, the Alabama-Virginia Tech game.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, those picks are all closed now because we are underway, but you can join our college pick 'em again next week. We've got it either the whole season or week by week.
Yeah.
You can join us. So we certainly hope that you do, and you can start picking starting on Monday.
You can just do it 1 week just for fun if you want to.
And you're still eligible for gift cards.
Have a chance to win some great gift cards
from local
area restaurants.
So. Exactly.
Good stuff.
Yeah, very exciting. So also on our website, chapelbrew.com, we've got a special piece from Josh Leffler on going back to school. Of course, everyone finishing up, as I mentioned, the last day of the first week of classes. Man, I don't miss the days of any kind of school, really. I was not a student. I got through it and got my degree, of course. But
I did what I could do to get by.
Yeah,
that was about it.
Not a big student myself.
I'll leave that to my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Me too.
My wife is one of those, she's almost a career student kind of thing.
Really?
She's going back, she's trying to get her PhD for physical therapy, and she's back in school now and enjoys it. She really loves it. I mean, she really enjoys school. So.
Well, I'm not going to say that my wife enjoyed it, but she went back to school. She already had a degree, but she went back to school at the age of 40 to get an engineering degree.
Wow. Nice.
Which I greatly admire. She worked really hard on that.
Yeah.
I could never have done that.
Me neither. People ask all the time, oh, well, are you going to go back and get your master's? I said, not in any way do I expect to do that. No.
I think that living with either of us would be an educational process in itself.
That is true. Also, today's gallery is from Pause Forever's Agility Trials. You can find that by Susan Murray on our website, chapelbrew.com. Jordan Rogers will have an analysis of the Tar Heel loss, the defeat from last night as well. And Art Chansky will have another recap coming up tomorrow on the Huddle Up with the Heel section on our website, chapelbrew.com. Lots still going on there. Of course, tonight we've got high school football back again.
Yeah.
And two great games. The first one on WCHL and chapelbrew.com. The second exclusively on chapelbrew.com. Paul Connell, Anthony Wellman, Jeff Hamlin, and Walter Storholt all with the call tonight. And Jeff Hamlin going to his high school alma mater, Orange High School, tonight.
That's right.
So Orange against Northern Durham. And our game of the week is, I believe, at East Chapel Hill this week. So very exciting games coming up tonight.
Double your pleasure, double your fun. Who does that? Two high school football games in one night from right here in our community.
That's right.
From WCHL and chapelbrew.com. Enjoy those.
And I spoke incorrectly. It is East Chapel Hill, but it's at Carrboro. East Chapel Hill at Carrboro tonight is game one on WCHL, and that's not in order of importance, but just the way we announce that.
It's hard to keep up with all of them.
WCHL and chapelbrew.com high school football. So chapelbrew.com has a lot for you, all with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
All right. 7:46 WCHL coming up. Brian Thornburg is standing by.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Join us this Friday, August 30th from 2 to 6 p.m. for a customer appreciation event at our Chapel Hill North store off MLK Jr. Boulevard. Win great prizes, sample free food and drink, and learn how to save 18 cents per gallon on gasoline. Giveaways, savings, and fun this Friday from 2 to 6 p.m. at Cruisers in Chapel Hill North. It's our way of saying thanks to our customers in this community.
Cruisers, good to go.
For years, the brokers at Weaver Street Realty were known as the Muddy Boots Land Team. They still call themselves that. They can read surveys. They know septics. They know wells. Whether it's an in-town lot or a 100-acre tract, they will put on their muddy boots and walk land with you through an unmatched level of expertise and service. The Weaver Street Team has earned customers for life through repeat business and referrals. They listen with compassion and act with confidence. Stop by on Main Street in Carrboro or check them out at WeaverStreetRealty.com.
Good morning at 7:47 at WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Brian Thornburg. I don't know about you, but I'm awfully proud of our state senator, Ellie Kinnaird, although now she's a former senator. If you haven't heard, she resigned rather than sit in a one-sided Senate. Some good neighbors of ours are in consideration for her office, but that's not what I wanted to talk to you about. It's what Ellie said is the other reason she decided to resign, the now infamous voter ID law. We could argue the merits of that law, but the bottom line is, it's now harder for all of us to vote. All of us. Ellie said she was leaving office to start a campaign to make sure we all understand what we need to do so that we can all vote. I know I'll be working too, because I know that the government we get is the one we ask for, and the only real way we have to ask for what we want is with our vote. We all are supposed to get a vote. And those of you who don't vote, either because you don't think it'll matter or you think politicians are all the same, you're actually making a choice by not making a choice. And you'll probably get the government you deserve. As with most things, silence means agreement. So what can we do to ensure we all get to vote? Well, start with you. Are you registered? Your family? Your neighbors? If you need to know how to register, call the Board of Elections or visit their website, but don't let anyone take away what's yours. Franklin Roosevelt once said, "Nobody will ever deprive the American people of the right to vote except the American people themselves, and the only way they could do this is by not voting." This is Brian Thornburg.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
For great food and infinite sports on game day or night, the new Tobacco Road Sports Cafe is your next stop. Locally owned and operated, Tobacco Road features fresh, local ingredients, down-home classics, and gourmet entrees, plus a wide selection of North Carolina beers on tap. Exceptional service is also on every menu, from your servers to the chef preparing your order. In Infinite Sports, we have every available sports package on TVs throughout the restaurant for your viewing comfort. Tobacco Road Sports Cafe, now open in Chapel Hill's East 54 Shopping Center.
If you're over 60 and young at heart, you're looking for more than just a place to live out your years. You're looking for the Cedars of Chapel Hill. Our unique community in Metamot offers you all the independence and financial benefits of owning your own home without all the hassles, so you can pursue other goals and also enjoy the peace of mind of having a continuing health care plan in place. Make your next chapter in life your best chapter. Call us to learn more about the Cedars. Life has been good to you. At the Cedars, it gets even better.
For the past 40 years, Great Outdoor Provision Company has been North Carolina's authentic outdoor expert for hiking, canoeing, kayaking, fly fishing, and adventure travel. If you enjoy the outdoors, you'll want to join Great Outdoor Provision Company and the Banff film event, Radical Reels, at the Varsity Theater. Catch the best in high adventure sports films on Thursday, September 5th. Tickets on sale and details at greatoutdoorprovision.com.
Time for traffic and weather together on WCHL. Traffic brought to you by Southern Rail, an eclectic mix of restaurant, the station bar and beer garden, and the Tiger Room. Southern Rail in the heart of downtown Carrboro. Now with traffic, here's Rand.
Thank you very much, Ron. Traffic still moving smoothly. I-40, 15501, NC-54, and the Durham Freeway not reporting any accidents or delays. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that. that safely.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And things moving along pretty well all week long in spite of the first week of school, all that sort of thing. WCHL's Chapel Hill Cover of Weather presented by Southern Season. Visit today to sample Southern-inspired flavors for a chance to win a $250 gift card during their special Savor the South event going on now at University Mall in Chapel Hill or at southernseason.com. 69 degrees in Chapel Hill. Mostly sunny, high today in the middle 80s. Tonight mostly clear with a low down around 65. And then tomorrow, partly sunny, slight chance of rain in the afternoon, high 88. Tomorrow night, we'll get down to 68, still slight chance of rain. Then on Sunday, a little bigger chance of rain, 30%, and high in the upper 80s. 751 WCHL. Time now for Wayne Pond with the word of the day. How are you?
Hey, big guy. How you doing?
Just fantastic. Although not happy about what happened last night.
Keep those spirits up. Keep those spirits up.
Yep, I'm going to do it.
All right. Well, yesterday it was plenary. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Yep.
Sort of, kind of, you remember?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Today it's penury. P-E-N-U-R-Y. They have nothing to do with one another, but they sort of sound like they do.
Yeah.
But they don't. All right. See as in Paul. P-E-N-U-R-Y. Penury.
Mm-hmm.
This is a term, according to the wordsmith, that has inhabited any number of etymological linguistic incarnations over the generations. We associate, for example, want or frugality or poverty.
Thrift?
What?
Thrift?
Well, I'm not sure you'd go that far, but what the heck. Let's put it in the mix and see what it makes up like, huh?
Sounds good to me.
Block that metaphor, Ron. Block that metaphor.
Hey, listen,
yeah,
buddy.
Block those other football players.
Yeah.
All right, penury. Today, according to the wordsmith, a cramping and oppressive lack of resources. Sounds like people who work in radio, now that I think about it.
Or what's being done to education these days, as far as
well,
money
now,
to work
with. Now you've said something happy about all the geniuses in Raleigh who are. Oh, isn't it an embarrassment? But that's another subject. All right,
yeah.
P-E-N-U-R-Y, penury, is the word of the day. Lack of resources, severe poverty, extreme frugality.
Mm-hmm.
Take your pick. It's a melancholy Friday.
Yes, it is. Hey, buddy, have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. I'll talk to you on Monday. Be a good boy. Bye-bye.
Wayne Pond's Word of the Day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Next hour, sometime between 8 and 9, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day. Spell it, define it. You can do all that. We'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers.
It's Ron Stutz, WCHL, time for the clean joke of the day. Time for Lauren Stafford to make her grand entrance. And
ta-da!
There she is. How about that?
Now all I need was a drum roll.
Perfect timing. Well,
that's
what's up?
Perfect timing. That's my middle name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
That's why I was giving this illustrious job. The perfect timing clean
joke. Oh, yeah.
Day.
Yeah, exactly. Exorbitant pay and everything else.
That's exactly. All the benefits. I mean, come on. Getting to see your face every day.
That's really.
Doesn't end.
You just tell them, you know, when you get your electricity bill, just tell them, I know Ron Stutz. I see his face every day, and they'll send you back a note, and they'll say, oh, okay, never mind. You don't have to pay us.
I will definitely be trying that. I'm sure that'll work. My husband will be thrilled.
It'll work for you about as well as it does for me.
Exactly. All right, so Walt Mack sent us a great joke.
This is Walt Mack.
I know. He definitely has that voice that you,
I love it.
You recognize.
I just sneezed a while ago, and I can't get down low like I normally can, so... At any rate, that'll have to suffice.
That was pretty good. That was a pretty good imitation. All right.
This is Walt Mack.
That was, there we go.
Okay.
Very good. Imitation's a, you know, sincerest form of flattery.
That's right. He's a good guy.
All right, so here's Walt's joke. I saw a homeless man on the street the other day.
Mm-hmm.
His beard was long and scraggly, his clothes were tattered, and he was truly tired-looking and downtrodden.
Yeah.
As I reached into my wallet to give him a $5 bill, I asked him not to spend the money on alcohol. The man replied, "No, sir, I quit drinking 5 years ago." So I asked him not to spend the money on fishing supplies.
Right.
The man replied, "Sir, no, sir. I gave up fishing 8 years ago."
Uh-huh.
I then asked him, "Please do not spend the money on hunting gear." He replied, "No, sir. I gave up hunting 12 years ago," he said, rather sadly. I said, "Well, then get into my car and let me take you home so my wife can cook you a good and nourishing meal. I want her to see what happens to a man when he gives up drinking, fishing, and hunting." For the true Southerner.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Walt.
Thank you, buddy. Walt's not a Southerner. shooter, but
no.
That's pretty cool.
Right.
Anyway, have a good day.
You too, Ron.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager, Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Carolyn White is a media specialist at McDougal Middle School. She's McDougal Middle School's media coordinator. And each year at McDougal, there's a special project for the kids, with which Carolyn is very involved.
Years ago, the social studies teachers and I and the gifted teacher attended a conference at UNC that was about global learning, and we decided to take a week that first year and focus on a topic that was local but also global. And that year we looked at climate change and global warming. And we all read, it turned out we read Al Gore's acceptance speech. He had won the Nobel Prize that year. As a school, we had a seminar on that. So then the next year we did World Hunger and did a huge fundraiser for Haiti.
The whole event each year is called Learning Without Borders. Carolyn White says in the spring, they chose a new topic.
We decided to look at water, access to clean water and sanitation. And there is a book that came out by Linda Sue Park called A Long Walk to Water. And Linda Sue Park, the author, actually has parents in Chapel Hill, and she was coming to Flyleaf to sign books, but agreed to come to McDougal and present to our 7th grade class. Well, we got enough copies of the book, so the entire 7th grade had already read her book when she came and presented to us.
Carolyn White, another outstanding educator, is today's WCHL hometown hero. She says each year the kids get a lot out of this project.
You've heard a lot about 21st century skills. That's sort of a buzzword that a lot of people use. And one component of that is a global awareness and an understanding that what we do impacts people globally and that we can make changes. Middle school students like experiential learning, and this is something that they can integrate everything they've learned in science about water. They can use their math. They're using their language arts in reading this book, and we're having a seminar. So they're sort of using everything they're learning and putting it into a project and looking beyond themselves. It's had huge impacts on kids.
Think globally, act locally. That's the message the kids take away. At McDougal Middle School, Carolyn White, media coordinator. She's today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from the all-new Carolina 1663. It's half off. Introductory offers for breakfast, lunch, or dinner available now. Our Local Deal welcomes Carolina 1663. The latest in destination dining. Executive Chef McLean has created a menu that will beckon you to relax and enjoy his fresh, creative dishes. In addition to the dining room, come enjoy their wonderful full bar lounge and patio seating. It's half off from Carolina 1663. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
71 degrees in Chapel Hill already, mostly sunshine today. High today in the middle 80s. Tonight clear with a low 65, and then tomorrow and Sunday, slight chance of rain both days.
Local news all day, breaking news whenever it happens. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 8 o'clock.
Chapel Hill Economic Development, open for business, to business. Find out more on the web at open to business.